Alright. I can't post super often right now because 4chan's current CAPTCHA is killing me a little bit, but I have received somewhat recently quite a few questions, so I guess if there's a time for a Q&A, now might as well be it. I've got a handful of safe for work questions, not safe for work questions, and then a mixed bag of questions and some other random questions compiled from a handful of areas. So let's get into it, I guess. One, what skill would you like to learn but think you aren't capable of? Well, I guess this is a hard one, because I think if there is any skill that, like, you really want to learn, you're probably capable of it. Someone had to learn that skill themselves, so I don't think it's necessarily fair to say that there's any skill I want to learn, but I'm not capable of learning, you know? Because it's a skill. It's all about, like, technicality and knowledge, not necessarily, like, is something predetermined, like physical disposition or something. So there are lots of skills I'd like to learn. I'd like to learn how to ice skate better. I don't think what I do right now could be called ice skating. It should be called ice falling. Yeah, ice skating and rollerblading would be cool to learn. And I know that that's just a matter of practice. Let's see. Yeah, I guess I'd put those up at the top, like, things I'd like to learn how to do that I can't right now, skill-wise. When I was really little, I used to be frustrated by the fact I couldn't lick my elbow. I don't know if that counts as a skill, but it was always something I wanted to do because my little sister could actually lick her elbow and I couldn't, and it always bothered me. What kind of sports do you like to watch or play? I don't really watch sports. I don't watch a lot of TV in general. I don't even really watch YouTube very often. I get a lot of flack for that one. So, I don't watch a lot of anything, let alone sports. I used to think that volleyball was pretty fun. Personally, I like to swim. I play women's water polo, because I'm a woman. There's not really anything special about women's water polo versus men's water polo, really. Our swimsuits cover a little bit more. And water polo is pretty fun to watch, but it's a little hard to watch, because a lot of the, like, action I feel happens under the water, so it's hard to see above the water. And I always thought that soccer was fun, but my face is just a soccer ball magnet, so that didn't end up being well suited for me. I'm a little clumsy, so land sports are hard. But yeah, so I like to swim and race and play water polo. Diving's really, really, really cool to watch. And gymnastics is really cool to watch. People don't usually think of those as sports, but I think they're 100% sports. They take a lot of, like, just physical ability to do. So, yeah. I guess that answers that question. Moving on. How did you discover 4chan? I first discovered 4chan because there was some news article about, it was about 4chan, I don't remember exactly what it was, but they made it out to be this, like, oh, first step to the dark web, big nasty website full of just degenerates and hackers and, it got me curious. I was like, 4chan, 4chan, ooh, 4chan. And that was several years ago. And since then, I've been here. I got on and I looked around and I figured out what it was actually about. Surprisingly little hacking is involved. And I just sort of, yeah, I looked around and found some, number of boards that I thought was pretty, were pretty interesting and were pretty cool, and I've been here ever since. Might not stay if the new cap just stays, but so far I've been here ever since, so we'll see how that plays out. It's a little frustrating. What are your political views? Pretty central, I guess. I have some more conservative views, and I've got some more liberal views. I understand. I'm going to college, and I'm a psychology major, and the last couple years I've been spending a lot of time taking community psychology classes, which is kind of like sociology, but focused on just the, like, hard science of how being in groups tends to affect people, and is less about the rules of society and more about just the people within the society and how social groups affect us and stuff, and how we can influence large social groups. And I feel like that those classes bring up a lot of really good points of that sort of support a lot of more liberal movements towards supporting impoverished people and having those, like, government programs that hardcore right-wing conservatives would view as, like, socialism type stuff. And in reality, a lot of things when it comes to humans, generation after generation, are just cycles, and if you don't give people a way to break that cycle, it doesn't end. And the whole point of, like, America is supposed to be like, oh, if you live the American dream and if you work hard, you can get out of whatever situation you're in. And that's not really true. A lot of people, if they work really, really hard, they might be able to give a better future to their kids. But it's not going to help them, not that first generation. And I think a lot of people who do move to the United States, like immigrate to the United States, looking for a better future, they're not looking for a better future for themselves. Usually they're looking for a better future for their kids. Because the reality of it is, almost no matter how hard they work, they're not going to be in that, like, wealthy middle class, but they might be able to get just far enough ahead for their kids to have that opportunity. Yeah, and there's just a lot of things going on that I'm a little soft. I care about people, so I want to see people be taken care of. Because not every bad situation somebody ends up in is their own fault. Lots of them are. A lot of them are poor decisions, but kids especially don't get to make a lot of their own decisions and have to face the worst of what happens to them. And the best way to support kids is to support their parents, no matter how terrible you think their parents are. 5, describe your ideal partner. I would say someone kind and gentle. I'd like someone funny. I like to laugh. I like to think I laugh pretty easy. I find lots of things kind of funny. And someone that's too serious might take that the wrong way. Not think that it's a good thing. So it's not, like, mandatory that he's funny, but I'd like it if he was funny. Definitely helps make conversations more interesting. Yeah, kind, gentle, patient. I definitely need someone who's really patient. I make lots of mistakes all the time. So I need somebody definitely patient. And open-minded would be important too, because I'm oh so very degenerate. So if he isn't open-minded, he's gonna have a really rough awakening sometime. Then let's see, ideal. Kind, warm. Warm is a personality trait as well as a it's a physical trait too. But I get cold really easy, so if they've got high resting body temperature, that'd be cool. Help me bounce me out a little bit. But then they wouldn't like it if I left the heat up, so that might be like shoot myself in the foot. Who knows? But yeah, warm personality. Wanna do good, be good, not just angry all the time. I've met a lot of people who are good people. They're fundamentally good people. And they mean well, but they're just angry all the time. Angry at everything, angry at the world. And maybe they're trying to do better, maybe they're trying to make the world a better place, but they're just fundamentally angry inside. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. It's just, I wouldn't call it my ideal. I can still get along with those kinds of people, and I've still loved people like that. It's just, when it comes down to my ideal, as someone who carries that much anger inside of them, it's tiring, I guess, you know? Because anger is such a, it's such a draining emotion to keep up. And then if you spend all your time being angry, you don't have time to feel the other emotions that are out there. We're a little bit more complicated than fairies. They say that fairies are only big enough to hold one emotion at a time. Humans are much more complicated than that. We can be a whole swirly-whirly soup of emotions, but anger really masks so many of them. So, warm person, a little bit less hot-headed person, someone patient and kind and caring and gentle. And funny if I can have it, but it's best not to be too greedy. Six. What countries do I want to visit and why? Oh, man. I think it'd be nice to visit everywhere just to see it, you know? I know that's not practical, and it's a terrible non-answer. I'll give a better answer in a minute, but you know, in a perfect world, I'd be able to visit anywhere I wanted on any given day just to see what it was like there. I like flowers, so somewhere with a forest would be nice to visit. So like the Amazon rainforest, but like the safer parts of the Amazon rainforest, not the parts of the Amazon rainforest where like you trip on a rock, scrape your knee, and die from an infection. Not that part of the Amazon rainforest. That's not for me, you know. Get bit by a mosquito and die. Oh gosh. Not there. But like, you know, the more northern part of the Amazon rainforest, which is held in a collection of is held in a couple of countries, but primarily in Brazil, and I think Brazil's just a really pretty place to go to too. I know the crime rates are a little high there though, so I'd have to be like really careful. But that's an option. And then let's see. I always wanted to go to Egypt. See the pyramids. When I was really little, I wanted to be an archaeologist, like I'm talking younger than 5. I got all of these like Egyptology books, all of these like archaeology books. I studied Egyptian hieroglyphics, and I even got to the point where I could do like crude little kid drawings of Egyptian hieroglyphics and write out things like a code or something. Oh man. And whereas I have given up on my dreams of being an archaeologist, I would still really like to go see the pyramids sometime. Feel the sand. It's cool. Sand is so cool. See the Nile River. Try not to get eaten by a crocodile. And then after that, I thought Rome and Italy would be a really cool place to go. Just to see Rome, because it's got so much history and it's such an old city. I feel like there's so much to just see there, and so many places to go. And then, that takes all of that, like, brings in all of the, like, European hotspots. So, you visit Italy and go to Rome, visit France and go to Paris, visit the UK and go to London, and visit Germany and go to Berlin, and stop by Amsterdam, and yeah, just like all of those ones just to see them. Yeah, I guess that'd be. Oh, it'd be cool to go to Japan, see Tokyo, and see a real Japanese garden in Japan. The area that I live has really likes to have like just Japanese gardens in random places, and they're always so beautiful and so pretty. And I think it'd be really cool to see a real Japanese garden and visit Mount Fuji sometime. Just like go to all of the like beautiful places. Like visit Tokyo, because how do you go to Japan and not visit Tokyo? But I wouldn't really want to spend all my time in Tokyo. I'd want to spend my time like out in the forest somewhere and look at all the cool flowers and see the ocean and stuff. That'd be really cool. Would you rather be in an area prone to powerful earthquakes or powerful hurricanes? Oh, darn. Powerful hurricanes. Because something's just less scary about a hurricane named Elsa or something like that than there is about earthquakes. Like, after a hurricane, there's a lot of damage, there's a lot of flooding, but more or less the houses are still there, kinda. But like after a powerful earthquake, sometimes the whole land has changed, and I don't know about that. Plus, I'm already really like clumsy and off balance. If I lived in a place with earthquakes, I'd just have to lay on the ground and accept my fate because I'm not walking anywhere. It's like you're asking me whether would I rather live in California or Florida. I don't want to live in Florida. But I don't want to live with earthquakes. Oh man. So yeah, I guess the hurricanes. Plus, if I lived in a place with powerful hurricanes, that would just mean that I lived on the coast, and that'd be cool. I haven't been to the ocean very many times. I've been to the ocean approximately one time, but it was really cool when I went, and I thought it was. I had a blast. It was so neat. It was late August, so it was nice and hot, and the water was warm, and the ocean was so cool, and I saw a jellyfish, and I collected a seashell, and sand is so soft. Sand is so soft. It was so cool, and it was warm. It wasn't too hot. It was just nice and warm, and oh man, the ocean's cool. So I guess, if it means I can live on the coast, I'd live with a hurricane or two. Have I ever been in a street fight? Have I ever been in a street fight? No, I've never been in a street fight. I played a mobile version of Street Fighter once. I don't think that's really what you're looking for, but I've never been in a street fight. Oh, goodness. No. I'm a little soft for that. And, a lot non-confrontational for that, so have they been in a street fight? No, I got in a couple of fights in middle school. A little bit of a hothead in middle school. Got detention once or twice or three times. And I won those fights. But I don't think anyone was really trying to hurt me. Guys are usually really easy on girls, even if they fight with them, and I've never fought with a girl, so, you know. Yeah. Yeah, young Sunshine was a scrappy young thing. Yeah, no, never been in a street fight. How many languages do you speak? What languages do you want to learn in the future? Speak? Well, just English. I know sign language. I know Spanish. I will not speak Spanish for you because I speak Spanish well enough to know that when I speak Spanish, I sound so stupid and I've got such a dumb little American accent and I can't handle it. So I refuse to speak Spanish, but I understand it really well. And if they like know a bit of English or just need like a couple of Spanish words, I'll like, you know, let it happen. But, yeah, I sound so dumb when I speak Spanish, so I don't do that, but I know enough Spanish that I could get around in, like, Mexico or something. Languages I'd like to learn? I studied Japanese for a little while. It's a really, really pretty language, both written and spoken. It's really pretty. Got a lot of weird rules. Not like super weird rules, but just like really different rules. That was fun. I always think that Russian would be really neat to learn to speak just because it sounds so cool. And so I feel like it'd be really cool to just like bust out with some Russian sometime. I just have that under my belt. But I'm not taking any like steps to learn Russian. So there's that. Oh, and then I don't know if I already mentioned this. Sorry, I've been yamming for a while now. I don't know if I already mentioned this, but sign language isn't necessarily something you speak, but I know it and I can sign. So that's really helpful, actually. What are your Euro 2020 predictions? Oh, this question's a little dated. I totally missed this. so I don't have to predict at all. I could, yeah, I'm just gonna skip by that one. What's something you regret? Oh, that's such a heavy question. Let's see. My freshman year of college, I dated a really, really bad guy, like truly an awful, terrible person. I regret dating him a lot. It caused me so much pain and so much trouble. It literally just, like, cost me so much. Like, the waste of time, that's part of life. Sometimes you waste your time. Wasted investment in a person, that's, like, you know, not so bad. But, he was just such a bad person that just having ever been associated with him still makes me feel bad sometimes. So I regret that. I say that's like my one big regret. Other regrets? I mean, I have regrets, but I wouldn't say there's like anything big like that. Like I regret all kinds of stupid stuff. Like, you know, there's always, like, that time when you are, like, unsure about the answer on a test and you regret not picking the right one because that's the difference between, like, your 89 and 90%, so your B and your A, and blah, blah, blah. And, yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say there's anything, like, too huge otherwise that I really regret. Mostly him. I'd say a lot of my like other large regrets just boil back down to I wish I'd never dated him. So I guess that's good enough. Can you tell when someone is dead inside? That's such an interesting question. I guess it depends on what you mean by dead inside, because some people I think interpret dead inside as meaning that they're just living without any purpose, not really enjoying it, but they're going through all the emotions and they don't feel any joy from it, but they're functioning. And so that's like, I guess I'd picture someone that like puts all of their time into working, but doesn't know why. They just don't know what else they would do, and they don't really want for anything or need for anything, and they don't feel any motivation for anything. You could call that dead inside, but I don't think that that's necessarily dead in, like, dead inside. It just means that they're, to me, those people feel like they're just waiting for something. They don't know what they're waiting for, but they're waiting for it. Waiting for someone to come along, or waiting for some opportunity to do something, and they could be described as dead inside, but I don't think they're really dead. I think they're just waiting, like, you know, like seeds underground in the winter. Not dead, not growing, just dormant, waiting in the frozen earth for the snow to thaw and to get that first splash of water to start growing. Another way to describe someone as being dead inside, though, would be to describe them as, like, you know, those, the way that people feel inside shortly before they take their own life is a good way to describe it. Dead inside also, which is how a lot of people use it. Just no joy, no remorse, no anything, just tired. Dead, tired. No motivation, not really living for anything. Wouldn't mind just not living, honestly. That kind of dead inside you can feel. So if it's that kind of dead inside, yeah. The other kind of dead inside is easy to just, like, brush off. Is like, oh, they are just tired, or they're having an off day, or, oh, well, you know, they work themselves half to death, so of course they feel kind of a little lackluster. And so it's not immediately obvious. And those people probably don't even realize it either, but, that kind of dead inside, the, like, well, might as well, the kind of dead inside where if you ask them about it, they'd be like, oh, I could die at any point in time, and it wouldn't really bother me, I'm just sort of waiting for that to happen. That kind of dead inside, I can tell. And then there's another kind of dead inside that people use sometimes to describe someone who's just really fake. So there's nothing to them besides just that fakeness, that, like, putting on airs and stuff, and that kind of dead inside's a little bit more nuanced, and it's a little bit harder to detect, but when someone is just that kind of fake, living just to put on airs, eventually you can tell, because if you try to get close to them, there is no them to get close to, and it becomes really obvious once you find that out. So there's that. Not safe for work questions. What's your body count? Of men who've been inside of me? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4. Of men who have touched me? 6. Yeah. 7. What got me into anal? Did it hurt the first time? What got me into anal? Oh boy. I've been into anal for a really, really, really long time. And this is so terrible. It's started with erotic fanfiction, specifically the gay kind, and that, like, hentai that went with it, the Doudashins, or however you'd pronounce it. It just always looked like it felt so good. And, a horny teenager, I was interested in it, so I'd finger myself personally a little bit, and it felt quite nice. And, so I'd used a toy on myself before I even lost my virginity, honestly, to like try and enjoy the feeling, and it felt quite good, absolutely no pain. And then when I lost my virginity, the boyfriend who took my virginity a little bit shortly after that, like a couple days later, he fucked me in the ass for the first time, and I think he thought it was his idea, but it was also very much something that I wanted. And that first time it didn't hurt at all. He like let me prep myself and stuff, which helped a lot. A lot of guys, they just like don't recognize that butts are different from vaginas, and you have to actually finger a butt a little bit before you can stick your cock in it. You can get away with fucking a vagina without fingering it first. I mean, it's only polite to finger first. Just saying. There are many men out there looking for tips. It's only polite to finger her first before you stick it in. But for asses, it's not optional. You gotta stick a little bit of something smaller than a dick in there first before you go for it. And so there was one guy who did try to fuck my ass once, and he wouldn't like let me prep for it, and he wouldn't do any prepping for it, and it hurt so bad. And I love it so much. I really like it. And I was down to do it until he wouldn't let me do the bare minimum to make it not hurt, and then I was like, no, not touching my butt. Get out of there, go away, it hurts a lot. Don't touch it. Don't even think about it. So, it didn't hurt my first time, but it has hurt before, and it's specifically because of how the guy is, how he handles it. When was the last time I had sex? There was one night last January where I had sex, and then before that, it was sometime in April 2020, I believe. So it's been a hot minute. At what age did you lose your virginity? How was the experience? I lost my virginity when I was 18, almost 19. So a little old. Like, if you're gonna lose your virginity before marriage, you usually do it way before 18. But, yeah, I was almost 19. I was like 2 months away from turning 19, I think. Did it hurt the first time? Oh no, not that. How was the experience? I was really into him. And I wanted it. And it was, he had a lot more experience than me, and he'd even taken other girls' virginities before. So he really knew what he was doing. And I started off trying to do it on top, but I didn't know what I was doing. So it was just like it didn't feel awkward at the time, but I would describe it as like awkward wetness and like being unsure of what to do. But I was really excited for it, and I'd been kind of anticipating it like all week. And it was just a matter of like not finding the right time, or being in the right place at the right time, or not being alone for long enough. Because it was right before I went to college, so I was still living with my parents, and there was nobody home but the two of us, and we went back to my bedroom, and we were kissing, and yeah, he laid on the bed, and I got on top, and then that didn't work, so I laid down and spread my legs a bit, and he fingered me a little bit, Because it's only polite. fingered me a little bit to get me ready and get everything really wet. And then, he laid on top of me. And I had my legs spread pretty wide. And he pushed into me that first time, and it was like a really shallow thrust. I know when he broke my hymen, because I felt it break. And he thought that he broke it on the first thrust, but he definitely didn't, because it was a really shallow one, and it was just interesting. And then the second one, he went in a little bit deeper, and then the third one, he did it a lot rougher and went all the way in, and I practically felt it snap. And I knew that that was it. and then it just continued from there. You know, we did the fucky stuff, and he got close, but I wasn't on birth control, and because he was taking my virginity, he didn't want to use a condom. And so that was the only time I let him not use one, actually. And so he needed to pull out, and I gave him a blowjob, and it was the first time I'd ever given a boy a blowjob. And it was interesting because I could taste the blood, and, you know, it was covered in blood, and And I did get blood on the bed sheet. I got a lot of blood on the bed sheet. And when I, like, knelt on the ground to give him a blowjob, I actually kept bleeding. I bled a lot. It didn't hurt. I just bled a lot. And so I gave him a blowjob, and I could taste my own blood, and that was interesting. I wasn't, like, in love with the flavor. It was just there. And he came in my mouth, and it was honestly so gross I thought I was going to throw up, but I didn't. I just swallowed it, and I was like, woo, bleh. And I stood up and looked down and realized that there was just so much blood everywhere. I got a little bit of blood on the carpet, and there was blood on the bed sheet, and, you know, he was covered in blood, and I was covered in blood, and I was like, wow! And so I went to the bathroom, and I got, like a little pad that you use for your period, and I put that between my legs and was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's just the free bleeding. I don't know what to do. And when I got back into the bedroom, I had to figure out. I had a Tide pen, one of those, like, Tide bleach pens, and I used that and got all the blood up out of my bed sheet because, of course, I had white bed sheets. And I even got some on his shoe because he'd kicked our shoes off right by the bed. And I was like, oh, no. And he got some blood on his shirt, so I had to, like, go and wash his shirt in the sink and get all the blood out of it that I could, and it didn't really work out. There was still, like, a little bit of blood in it, so he just tucked his shirt in, and it looked really weird because it was, like, a super casual shirt, and he was wearing, like, shorts, and he tucked his shirt in, and it looked dumb, but it was to hide the fact that there was a little bit of blood on it because it took us a long time to take his shirt off. Gosh, I had to get dressed and get ready really fast because right when he came in my mouth, like, seconds after we finished, where he was like, oh, that was great, and I was like, yeah, that was fun, I heard my dad's truck pull up into the parking space because my bedroom window was right in front of the parking space. I had the curtains closed, of course, so he couldn't, like, see us, but he knew I was home because the lights were on, and I heard him pull up because his truck was noisy, and I was like, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god. Oh, so that was the experience. Am I into BDSM? Yeah. It's kind of a really general question. I prefer things a little bit more gentle, but, like, pretty rough biting, hitting, but not so much slapping, because slapping stings a little bit too much. But a little bit of hitting, Pinching, squeezing, pulling, biting. Rough, rough, rough biting is okay. I like the look of hickeys and bruises. I like being tied down, and I also like to tie guys down. And just marks in general, I think, are great. Edging is fun and nice, and the whole idea of that, like, collared play is fun. Like, master and honor and slave, all the laws, all cute. And personally, I don't like the, like, humiliation part of it so much, but a little bit of, like, teasing and bullying I think is really fun. It can be really interesting and fun to enjoy. Have you ever had sex with a stranger? Yeah, that's what January was. It was also super unenjoyable, and I don't think I'll ever do it again. It really ruined it for me, the idea of, like, one-night stands and, like, meeting a stranger. It was so terrible. I don't think I'll do that again. Really ruined it. Do I do drugs? I don't, actually. I used to do weed a little bit, but being high isn't that fun. Honestly, it's, like, super overrated. And any other drug I'm just not interested in. And I don't even drink alcohol because I think that it tastes icky. So, yeah, I feel like such a child saying that. Oh, why don't you drink? Oh, because, you know, some religious reason or some like, good, justified, well-rounded reason. Oh, sunshine, why don't you drink? Ah! It tastes icky. Oh, man. I feel like such a dork for that. Okay, there's one. And then I know that there's another question in here that I need to answer. I gotta find it. I had it ready. I swear I did. I was ready. Am I more of a sub or a dom IRL? Well, I guess I describe myself best as a switch. I flip-flop between the two. I really like gentle femdom, and I like teasing and bullying guys, especially if they're a little inexperienced. I like pushing them down and teasing and torturing them, and I'm making them blush and embarrassed and flustered, and I think it's just so cute, and it's so much fun, and I like rewarding them and calling them good boy, and I'm very much into the whole mommy dom thing and stuff, and I think that's a blast. And at the same time, I'm very soft, so, and I'm a very good girl. I do usually pretty easily what I'm told, so. And, you know, I like being marked up and bruised and bitten and all that jazz. So, I think that's a blast. I don't want it all the time, you know? I wouldn't want to, like, always be 100% just a sub. I want a little bit of back and forth, and I think a little bit of a competition over who is really dominant would be fun sometimes every now and again. So, if I could choose, which one would I rather be? I'm very happy switching between the two, actually. I think it makes things more fun, especially if you know every once in a while that, a guy's got a bit of a dominant side to him. It can be really fun sometimes to be dominant back to him and just push him to whatever his absolute limit is. And if he can, you know, sit through everything I give him, no matter how much I torture him, tease him, hurt him. If he can just sit still and listen to what I'm saying and be a good boy, then, you know, rewarding him later when he's being dominant feels pretty good, and that really encourages me to be a good girl, so, yeah. either is okay. And then there are some more questions here. I should have been so much more ready. I'm so sorry. Now you get to be serenaded by me. Okay. In terms of looks, who attracts me more? Sweet, cute, pretty boys or dumb, masculine guys? I've already described my ideal partner in terms of personality, so I guess we'll go for looks here. So, pretty boys to me can mean two different things. It can either mean that, like, cocky pretty boy, which I respect as, like, being attractive, but the, like, cocky pretty boy aesthetic, I don't vibe with so much, just because it makes me think of, like, actual cocky pretty boys, and I don't like that kind of personality very much. Just, like, men who are overly cocky, I find it kind of, I find it kind of ridiculous. Like, it's okay to be confident, but, like, overly cocky and, like, overly domineering and, oh, I'm just such hot shit. I think it's funny, and I can't take them seriously. Because they take themselves too seriously, so they're doing enough of it for both of us. I don't need to. but like the soft, pretty boy, shy, insecure, pretty boy, long lashes, big eyes, yeah, even the, like, almost shaggy hair can be kind of cute. I think that's really cute. What were the other options? And then, like, dominant masculine men are handsome and attractive, too. I think, personally, I find them a little bit too intimidating. Like, really dominant masculine men, if they're, like, too big, like, just too many muscles. I know some women just fawn over it, like, oh, who's that man that plays Aquaman? Who's the man that plays Aquaman? You know what I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. If you don't, you can look him up. But, you know, just handsome man that plays Aquaman. Whose name I can't remember. He's what I would think of as, like, you know, pinnacle of, like, dominant masculinity, and women fawn over him. He looks through his wet bangs at the camera, and they're already sitting in their own puddle. The real superpower of Aquaman, by the way. Getting women wet with a single glance. I don't know what his name is. I'm terrible. I can respect that he's handsome and that people think he's attractive, but he's not my type. He's just too manly. That sounds so terrible. And, like, manly can be nice. Manly can be good. You know, broad shoulders are always nice, but, it's just not my ideal. I kind of like, this is going to sound terrible, I kind of like scrawny guys, or really soft, round, like, kind of chubby guys. I kind of like to, yeah, kind of scrawny guys, lanky guys, small guys. My last boyfriend was a small guy. He was and I adored him. And I thought he was so attractive, too. He was such a catch. He was a little bit shorter than me. He was, I want to say he was like 5'3", 5'3 and a half, maybe 5'4". He always wore shoes with like really thick soles. So we came out to be almost the same height, but I was just a little bit taller and I liked that. And he had long hair. That was so pretty. Yeah, curly hair. And he was thin, like, he wasn't quite frail. He worked out a lot to, like, make sure that he stayed thin because his family was overweight and he was always really worried about being overweight, which I didn't think was super healthy motivation for, like, constantly working out. But I guess whatever motivates you to be healthy motivates you to be healthy, and there's nothing wrong with that. And he was Hispanic, and I liked the nice tanned, darker skin. I thought it looked really good on him, too. And he had just big brown eyes. And he had, like, a mustache and, like, a short beard, too. And I thought he looked really good. I don't know if that would be, like, ideal, but I did like it. And at one point I dated, like, a tall, broad-shouldered, big, he was, I think he was, like, 6 feet tall, 6'1", 200-something pounds, and he was, like, strong. He wasn't, like, ripped muscles and abs, which was good, so he was a little bit softer and rounder than that, but he still had, like, muscles, and he was still fit, and I really enjoyed watching him do push-ups. I don't know why, he was so weird. I'd ask him to do push-ups for me every once in a while in the evenings because I thought he was just so pretty to watch go. And he was full-blooded Irish, and he had beautiful green eyes, and I thought he looked great too. So, they both had really charming smiles, and they had warm hands. And, yeah, I don't know, I'm not really picky. I appreciate men. I'm a little intimidated by, like, really manly men. A little intimidated by really manly men, especially since I'm kind of short and small. I like kind of soft guys. You know, soft is more of an inside, but it's a little bit of an outside thing, too. Taller, shorter than me, all's good. A chubby or skinny, it's all good. Lankier, burly, it's all good. I don't know, men are great. I appreciate so many different kinds of men, I don't even know. And even the, like, Jason Momoa, is that his name? Gosh, I'm really trying here. I should just look it up, honestly. And even him I, like, recognize as, like, you know, being handsome. But I kind of like boyish charm, I think is what it is. I do like boyish charm, and he's just such a grown man. Chris Hemsworth, people think he's, like, really manly, too, and I think he's really attractive. You can still be, like, you know, muscly and have the abs and still be attractive. Like, I think he's terribly attractive. But he's got a little bit of that, like, boyish charm to it. I can think of, like, clips of him smiling in the Avengers movies that are like, oh, what a cutie. Oh, man. Yeah. I like men. I think men are attractive. That's where I stand. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. When was the last time you had sex? Just answered that question. What's the biggest and smallest dick you've ever had? I quite recently... Oh, never mind. Biggest dick I've ever had, probably like... I don't know, I didn't sit there and measure it, if I'm being honest, but it was terribly long, probably like 10 inches. It was uncomfortable and so painful, and he wasn't gentle and he wasn't patient, and I did not enjoy it. I did not enjoy it at all, actually. He was too big. There is such a thing as too big, and he was it. He was too big. It hurt a lot. Smallest dick, I think, was, well, there's, like I said, I'm not sitting there measuring it when we're going to town, but, like, probably 4 or 5 inches, somewhere in there-ish. I want to say, like, closer to the 4 inches, honestly, but I don't really know. I wasn't sitting there measuring it, and I never asked. It's kind of a weird thing to ask. But the one that had the smaller dick definitely felt so much better than the one that had the oversized one. And, like, even doing the regular stuff with the guy that was way too big, it just hurt. All of it honestly hurt. I did not like it anywhere. At all. Nope. For anything more than decoration, extremely impractical. Body count, already talked about. How would you feel about an open relationship? Open relationship, like, seeing other people separate from each other, I don't think I'd really like, but open relationship, like, inviting other people to the bedroom with us at the same time, that's okay. I wouldn't really want to go mess around with other dudes while I'm in, like, a serious committed relationship, just because it feels icky. I'm, like, aggressively monogamous. I'm a little insecure, so I'd definitely be kind of jealous if he did. So there's always that. But, like, inviting other people to the bedroom with us, or even, like, having a couple that we, like, regularly saw and, like, switched around with would be fun, but he can't just fuck the other guy's wife. I get to fuck the other guy's wife too, okay? If she's hot, we both have to fuck her. It's not fair for just one of us to get it. Oh man. So there's that. Am I into it? Would I be in one? I guess I just answered those questions. Have you ever had sex with someone you met on the internet? If so, tell us about it. Where'd you guys meet, and how did you know he wasn't a serial killer? Yeah, I met a guy on Soch once, actually, from one of the, like, little, it was actually from one of the femdom, dating threads, actually. We talked for a long time. That was a big part of how I knew he wasn't a serial killer, and, I just knew a lot of, like, verifiable stuff about him, and he lived in not super far from me, so, that was a part of it, and, you know, even if he was a serial killer, I wasn't that invested, so. Yeah, we just talked for a long time and knew each other for a really long time, and then we, met up and dated, and it was really pleasant. I guess it just comes down to knowing people and feeling comfortable with them. I like to think I usually get a pretty good idea for who people are as I talk to them. How would I describe myself? He's always been curious to know what I look like, so give you guys something to use for your imagination. Okay. I am 5'4.5". I've got long, dark brown hair that's naturally pretty wavy and has a little bit of a curl to it. I'm white and a quarter Italian, so I've got a nice olive skin tone. I tan up really nice in the summer. Short, curvy hazel eyes, that can look anywhere from just like a dark brown to like Leaf green is how I would describe it. I've got bangs. Yeah, bangs, long hair, curvy, short. That's it. Yeah. I've got a round face. I don't know if that helps you picture things at all. But like, yeah, I've got kind of a round face. So use that to your imagination. Cup size, C36, but I'm thinking maybe slightly bigger. I went bra shopping the other day, and the C's are just a little small, or I've got a lot of boobs spilling out of them, so I might need to start sizing up, or maybe try a bigger bandwidth, because the cup size increases with the bandwidth a little bit. So yeah, C36. How did you lose my virginity? I talked about that. How did I meet him? Ice skating. I met the guy who took my virginity ice skating. He was there. Did I initially hesitate to get fucked in the ass? Not even a little bit. Was it his or my idea? He thought it was his idea. It was definitely my idea. Was his dick big? No, it was normal. Probably like, 4 or 5 inches. I don't know. Again, I'm not sitting there measuring. Anywhere between 4 and 6 inches. I have no idea. I'm not sitting there measuring dicks. And especially for him, I had, like, no gauge of what a real dick looked like in front of me, so, and trying to, like, think about it retroactively is really hard. Was he gentle or aggressive? He was pretty gentle most of the time. Sometimes he was gentle, sometimes he was a little bit more aggressive. One time he choked me a little bit when we went through it. I thought that was hot. He, like, woke me up in the middle of the night and fucked me from behind and brought his arm around my neck and choked me a little bit. So I had to focus on holding his arm back a little bit to get that little bit of extra airflow. That was pretty hot. And sometimes he was more aggressive and a little bit more ruthless with it, and sometimes he wasn't. Do we still see each other? Hard no. Why do we break up? Because he's terrible. Really bad person. Sounds like an experience to never forget. For sure it was. And that's all of the questions I have for today. Join me next week when maybe I have more questions and maybe I don't. I spent quite a long time talking. So here is an hour and 3 minutes of pure sunshine Q&A. Thanks. Have a good day.